To most of the world, the Bible is just a history book or a book of practical wisdom, but it's far more than those things. The Bible is God's Word. Here on Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, we believe that the Bible is more than just a bestseller, but it's powerful and life-changing. The Bible has the answers to your important questions and can teach us about the things that are visible and invisible. This is why we are excited to share God's timeless truths with you. We are glad that you have joined us this Sunday morning for our program. And our prayer, as always, is that you would allow God's Word to direct your life. Here is Pastor Burns.
Chapter together, Isaiah chapter 9. And then we're going to find the Gospel of Luke in the very first chapter. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 1, and then Isaiah chapter 9. We have available on our gospel table in the back our Christmas invitation cards, and you can grab these, as many as you would like, and invite people to come to be a part of our church as we celebrate Christmas this year. Isaiah chapter 9, and then we're going to read one verse in the book of Isaiah, the second verse, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 2, and then we'll jump into the Gospel of Luke in the first chapter. You have an outline for our message. We want you to follow along with this message and understand this important truth as we get Christmas right. Oftentimes in Christmas time, we think that if we're going to get Christmas right, we have to get rid of all of the traditions, you know, take down the tree, get rid of the lights, all of those things. But remember, tradition in themselves is not wrong. It's wrong to make tradition our authority, but tradition is a wonderful thing. We want to see Jesus in those traditions, and we looked at last week gifts under the tree. We looked at Jesus being the gift of salvation, the gift of God, and this morning we're going to look at lights around the city. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 2, the Bible says this. Let's look at it together. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Now let's jump into the Gospel of Luke in the very first chapter, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 1, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 87. The Gospel of Luke, verse number 67. Look what the Bible says here together. The Bible says, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of the holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Verse 71, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to redeem his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. I want us to notice the expression that we find in both the Old and the New Testament. The Bible says in verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness. Let's pray together, can we? Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your word, and we're grateful for the opportunity that we have to come together and to worship you. We thank you for your word that gives us instruction and learning. And I pray, Lord, that we would be attentive to the message. May our hearts be opened, ready to receive. Lord, I pray that your blessing would be upon our time together this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I do have a lot of scripture, And so we're going to be looking through various passages of Scripture, but I want us to understand this important truth that Jesus is the light of the world. Now, during the Christmas season, I think Christmas and lights are synonymous. During this time of year, there are lights everywhere. And that's a wonderful blessing to understand that Jesus is truly the light of the world. Now, during Christmas season, my wife and our children have a tradition where we'll get into the car one evening before Christmas and we'll drive around the city. And we'll look at the different lights. I'll grab a coffee, my wife will grab a tea, the children will grab a hot chocolate, and we'll drive around the city and we'll look at the different lights that are around the city. Now, I did some research and found out that the Guinness World Records for the most lights on a residential property is 502,000 lights, 165. Actually, I have a picture of it right up here to show you, a couple of pictures. And it's just incredible. The owner of the house is David Richards. In fact, he said that he started to put up these lights in October. He took a week off of work, started to put up these lights. And then every weekend until Christmas, he put up these lights. He says that with the 500 or the 500,000 lights, it adds $2,500 a month extra to his hydro bill. I mean, this is just a sign of commitment, all right? This guy's committed. Now, Brother Jay, show everyone my type of lights. This is my type of lights right there. Ditto, right? That's how I like to put up lights for Christmas time. Now, the Bible teaches us that the Lord Jesus is the light of the world. Now, when we think of the tradition of lights in our city, I want us to take some time now and focus our attention on the Savior. What does the Bible say about the Lord Jesus? Now, let's look at our outline this morning. And first of all, number one, let's think about the darkness. Let's think about for a moment the cause of that darkness. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of that fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." And the Bible says that all of humanity was plunged into sin. One decision in the Garden of Eden, and all of the world is plunged into darkness. The Bible says that the woman believed the lie, and Adam disobeyed God willingly, and now we are in darkness. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, "For as in Adam we all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." So the cause of that darkness was the sin of man in the Garden of Eden so many years ago. But not only is there the cause of darkness, I want us to consider for a moment this morning the curse in that darkness. Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Galatians in the third chapter. Again, I have lots of Bible verses that I want to mention to you, and you have your outline that you can study in your own time after this message. And, you know, this is just a great help, I believe, to understand what the Bible says about Jesus being the light. Galatians chapter 3, and then look what the Bible says in the 13th verse. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree." Now the Bible says that when Adam took of that fruit, all of humanity is plunged into darkness. And the Bible says that now we are compared with the law of God. And the law of God, the curse in darkness, is that we cannot keep the standard of God. In fact, there in your notes, the standard of God is impossible for us to reach. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God." To come short means to fail to obtain. We cannot get to the glory of God. And the glory of God speaks of praise and worship and honor. You see, the curse of the law is that we would have to keep the law in order to meet God's standard. We would have to keep it perfectly. It's interesting, in Mark chapter 10, a lot of people get confused with this passage of scripture. And in Mark chapter 10, there's a rich young ruler that comes to Jesus, and he says, "How may I inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Well, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother." And he says to the Lord Jesus, by the way, he called him master, that is teacher. He says, "Yes, I know all of those commandments. In fact, I've kept them all from my youth." And Jesus said, "Wait a minute, there's one thing you lack. I want you to go and I want you to sell everything, and I want you to follow me." And the Bible says that he went away being sorrowful. Why? Because the Bible says the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And the second onto it is love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus was saying here, there's one thing that you lack, and that is a savior, because you cannot keep the law of God. In fact, I like what Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 17. As that man came to Jesus, he says, "Good master." And Jesus said, "Why are you calling me good? There is none good but God." And what Jesus is saying there is, are you calling me God? Are you calling me the Savior? Are you calling me the Messiah? This is truly the way to eternal life. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24, the Bible says, "Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ." Now, I mean, we could go through this auditorium and we could talk about the law of God, and we could say, well, how many have told a lie? How many have taken something that doesn't belong to them? By the way, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve became a thief. They took what does not belong to them. They stole from God. And the Bible teaches us in Matthew 5:17 that Jesus came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. In other words, the purpose of the law is to show us our inability to save ourselves, that we are in darkness and that we need a savior. Next there in your note, if we break God's law in one point, we are guilty of breaking the entire law. James chapter 2 verse 10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law yet offend in one point is guilty of all of the law." I think of Moses when he came back from Mount Moriah. He's walking down and he heard the music, he saw the idolatry, and he took the Ten Commandments and he threw them onto the ground. He broke all of those tablets of stone. Why? Because when you break one law, you've broken all of the law, and you are guilty before God, the Bible says. Romans chapter 3, verse 19 says, "Now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." Listen, if you're a Christian here this morning, this is great information to help you when you talk to someone else about the Lord. The Bible says that we are all guilty. And when we stand before God one day, the Bible says that every mouth will be stopped. They that are under the law, every mouth will be stopped, because we are all guilty before God. We see letter C there in your notes. There's the consequence of this darkness. The Bible says that we are all in the shadow of death. You know, our lives, our whole entire existence on this world is under that shadow of death. The reality is that one day we will die. "Wherefore, as by one man," Romans 5:12, "by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sin." Death is the result of sin. The consequence of our sin is death. In fact, let's turn to James chapter 1 in our Bibles together. James chapter 1 and verse number 15. James chapter 1 and verse number 15. The Word of God says this, the very first chapter of the book of James and the 15th verse. The Bible says, "And when lust hath conceived," this is the natural desires of our flesh, when we do what our flesh wants, When that lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Now let's look at what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews in the second chapter, Hebrews chapter 2. Look what the scripture says here. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 14. This here is speaking of the Lord Jesus and the victory that we have in Christ. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14 says this, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, Jesus himself, likewise took part of the same." Jesus became a man, the Bible says, 100% man, 100% God, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, and the Bible defines itself, that is the devil. Verse number 14, verse 15 says, "And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." You see, the reality is we are under the law, we are in darkness. And the Bible says that we are under that fear of death. We are under that bondage of death, the shadow of death that brings oppression and brings bondage and brings fear and brings uncertainty. People hate uncertainty. In fact, scientists have researched this idea, and in their experiments, they say that people actually fear uncertainty more than physical pain itself. People do not like uncertainty. They do not like what could happen, events that may take place. Maybe you've gone through that, waiting for that doctor's results, waiting for that person, waiting for that situation. And the reality, it's difficult, it's hard. And the Bible says that we are under darkness. All of humanity is under this darkness because of sin. And the Bible says that we are under the very shadow of death, that bondage. We have come short of the glory of God, and one day we must stand before God and give an account of our life. And the Bible tells us that every mouth will be stopped. We don't have any footing at all to stand on because we are guilty. We have broken the law of God. And the Bible says that we are all under this terrible darkness. Number two in your notes, let's look at some good news. Not only the darkness, but think about the light. The Bible says in verse 79 of Luke chapter number 1 that Jesus came to give light to them that sat in darkness. Jesus came to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. You know, light is a wonderful creation of God. In Genesis chapter 1, we see in the Bible that God created the heavens and the earth. And in verse number 3 of Genesis 1, the Bible says that God created light, and God said, "Light is good." God is the creator of light. In fact, in Genesis chapter 3, if we could turn there all the way back to the beginning of our Bible, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15, this is called the Proto-Evangelium, the Proto-Evangelium. This is, and that just means the first gospel, the first time in the Bible the gospel is mentioned. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15, notice what God says here. He says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This is the promise of God in the very beginning of the Bible, that God would send light into this world. There's a promise here that God would send light into this world. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10 says, But now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who have abolished death and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So Jesus, letter A in our notes, Jesus is the light of the world. You see, we are sitting in darkness and the shadow of death surrounds us, but Jesus came as the light of the world. John chapter 12, let's turn there. John chapter 12 and verse number 44. John chapter 12. In verse number 44, Jesus is the light of the world. Look what the scripture says here. John chapter 12 In verse number 44, the Bible says, Jesus cried, verse 44, Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me." This speaks of the deity of Jesus, that he is God, he is the Godhead. And verse 47 says, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Jesus has come as a light in this world. Now, we are all under the shadow of death, the uncertainty of death, that burden, that oppression, that taskmaster, that we are under that law, that curse of sin, that we cannot keep the standard of God. And yet Jesus came as the light of the world. John chapter 8, verse 12 says, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying,
You have been listening to Timeless Truths Radio Ministry with Pastor Jerry Burns, pastor of Kitchener Baptist Church. We hope that this message has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for more than 10 years. He is passionate about the Word of God and God's answers for today's problems. If Pastor Burns' ministry has helped you, he would love to hear your story. Connect with us online at timelesstruths.ca. You can help keep Timeless Truths Radio Ministry on the air by financially supporting this ministry. For more information on how you can partner with us, please visit our website at timelesstruths.ca or call us at 519-579-2236. Now, here is Pastor Burns with our Timeless Truth for today.
I know this time of year we're always focusing on finding that perfect gift or receiving gifts. But friend, listen to me. The greatest gift that you could receive this Christmas season is to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible teaches us that many years ago, Jesus came to this earth, God's Son, and he died for you and he died as you. He took your sin upon himself and he paid your sin debt so that you can be holy. You can place his righteousness upon yourself and you can enter into that perfect place called heaven. You know, salvation is not found in a church denomination. Salvation is not found in good works. It's not found in religion. Salvation is found in Jesus Christ and him alone. The Bible says that there's no name given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you believe the gospel, if you believe that you're a sinner, that you're separated from God, and that your sin will put you in hell one day, and that Jesus died for you, he died as you, so that you could have life eternal, then friend, listen to me. Would you pray this morning, Lord Jesus, I pray that you will wash my sins away. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell, but you died to take my place. I pray, Lord, that you would wash my sins away and give me a home in heaven. Now, if you prayed that prayer from your heart, it's not a magic prayer, but if you truly believe that, the Bible teaches us that you are born again. And I hope that you'll come and visit us this morning at 10:30 at Kitchener Baptist Church. I love to meet you, and I love for to show you from a Bible how this assurance of salvation will change your life. God bless you. Thank you for listening. The gift of God is eternal life. That is our timeless truth for today.
Save. Weak ends can make for strong beginnings, especially when you start each week with RE Recovery. They meet at Kitchener Baptist Church every Friday night at 7. Whatever you're struggling with, drugs, alcohol, pornography, tobacco, or any other behavioral problems like anger or depression, believe me, RE Recovery offers the help you need. Plus, you'll make some great new friends who understand what you're going through. And RE Recovery is open to people from all walks of life, any faith or no faith. Anybody who is just seeking to find something that works. I'm telling you, if you live better, you'll feel better. So why not make this your weekend for strong beginnings with RE Recovery? RE Recovery meets at Kitchener Baptist Church, 1720 Glasgow Street, every Friday night at 7 p.m. For more information, go to RERecovery.org or call 226-336-7680. That is RERecovery.org, 226-336-7680.
To know for sure that you are on your way to heaven, please visit us online at life.kitchenerbaptist.org. That's life.kitchenerbaptist.org.